Welcome back. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are learning Masechta Psachim. We're in the middle of Perek Beis, so we're up to Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah continues with different examples or concerns of things that you're not allowed to do because you may be creating chametz. A nosen kemach l'socha charoses. You should not put flour into charoses. Charoses here refers to some kind of a sauce or dip that the Bar Tanur explains was used to dip meat into, and it included in it vinegar and water, and so therefore you should not put flour in such a mixture. Olasocha chardol, or should not put flour as well into mustard. Vim nosan, and if you did, and the Gemara explains that the Vim Nasan is not going on both the cases of Charosis and Chardol, but only on the last case of Chardol, that if you did put the Kemach in, Yochal Miyad, you should eat it right away, because the Gemara explains that with the mustard, because it is sharp, the Chametz process does not happen right away, it gets somewhat delayed, so therefore you can eat it right away and not be concerned, and in that manner get rid of it before there's a Chametz issue. However, as we mentioned, the charoses cannot be eaten right away. That has to be disposed of. That is osur. Rabbi Meir says osur, and he is arguing, of course, just on the chardol piece, because we just explained that it's only the chardol that the Tanakhama said that you're allowed to eat right away because it does not become chametz quickly. Rabbi Meir disagrees and holds that even by chardol it does become chametz right away, and therefore you could not eat it, and you have to get rid of it. The Bar Tanur tells us that we do not paskin like Rabbi Meir, we paskin like the Tanakhama, and therefore, in the case of chardol, you would be okay, in the case of charoses, you would not. Then the Mishnah digresses for a brief moment to talk about the Korban Pesach. And the Mishnah says, we know the Pasuk says in Sefer Shemos, Al tochlu mimenu no umuvushal uvushalm b'mayim, that the Korban Pesach is supposed to be in tzli, roasted. It should not be cooked. And the Mishnah is telling us, even though the Pasuk only says cooked in water, mevushal b'mayim, is not asur, Mishnah adds that other liquids as well is asur. So you could not cook the Korban Pesach even if you were to cook it not in water but in other liquids such as fruit juices. Nevertheless, any type of bishul would disqualify the Korban Pesach. In mevashel nesa pesach, lo b'mashkin v'lo b'mei peres. Not in any kind of liquids and not juices from fruit. However, the Mishnah does allow us to, by the Korban Pesach, to actually smear or dip the meat into the mashkin or meperos. Aval sachin, you can smear umatbilin also, or dip it bahen in them. And what part of the process are we referring to? So the Bar Tanur explains that either it could be interpreted that the Mishnah is allowing us to smear or dip the mashkin or meperos onto the basar of the Korban Pesach after it's been roasted. That's his first explanation or possibility. Second explanation is that even before it's roasted, just smearing it or dipping it in to get a little taste does not take away from the fact that it's still considered roasted. It's not considered a bishul, and therefore it would be okay. Then we refer back to the inyan of chametz, which is what the mission opened with. May tashmisho shel nachtum, the water that is used by a baker. Yishavchu should be spilled out, mepnei shehin machmitzin, because they could and will become chametz. And the Bar Tanur explains that what we're referring to here is that the baker, in the process of working with the dough, will sometimes dip his hand in the water so that when he works the dough, it's smoother and easier to work with. So that water, since he's constantly dipping his hands in and the flour is coming in contact with water, should be disposed of because it would become chametz. With that, we end Mishnah Ches. And we are also finishing the second parak, parak base. We move on with our second Mishnah, which is the beginning of parak Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Now, just as by way of introduction, up until now, we spoke about chametz that is called chametz gomor, absolute chametz which we know is very severe, very serious in terms of the Isser. If a person, Chas v'Shalom, eats chametz on Pesach, there is a chiv of Koris. However, there are two categories of chametz that are going to be introduced in our Mishnah. One is called chametz ayidei ta'aruvos, chametz through a mixture, and the other is chametz noksha. Chametz noksha is chametz in a form that was not edible in the first place. Elu ovrim bePesach. So, in both these cases, we're going to see that there is no chiyuv koris. However, the rabbis required biur, required us to get rid of it, so that you should not eat it on Pesach, or according to some, it's so you shouldn't have it in your possession on Pesach. Now, chametz ayidei ta'aruvos. If you happen to have a piece of chametz that falls into a pot, so you now, and it got mixed into the pot, so you now have a mixture of food that has chametz in it, and the case of the Mishnah that we are talking about is a case where there is no, it's mixed so well, and there's no opportunity to eat a kazayas of this chametz in the mixture, the k'tei achilas pras, within the appropriate time that would be, that you would be over on an iser. However, if it is done, if you are able to eat the mixture and it would result in you eating a kazayas k'tei achilas pras, which whatever measurement it is, it's several minutes up to about 9 or 10 minutes, then you would be a chayiv on a lav and get malchus, but it would not be karis. But even in a case where you could not eat a kazayas k'tei achilas pras, the Rabbanan required us to get rid of this mixture. So the Mishnah goes on. Elu ovrin bePesach. The following are ovrin bePesach. The word ovrin here is interpreted a number of different ways by the Rishonim. The simple way, which we are going to learn in the Mishnah, is that you are not over bebal yirah bal yimatzeh, because as we mentioned, we're talking about cases where it's not chametz gomer, it's not chametz ayidei taruvus, where you can eat a kazayas potei achilas pras, so there's no concern of bal yirah bal yimatzeh, and therefore ovrin is interpreted by the Bartinu and other Rishonim that you have to get rid of it, miloshon biur, ovrin, to get rid of it from the world. El ovrin bePesach, these need to be rid of on Pesach. Alternatively, there are some Rishonim who hold ovrin means that you are in fact over in Bayirah Bayimatzah and that you have to get rid of it, but we are not going to learn it that way. We are going to learn like the Bartinur. So the Mishnah gives us four examples of chametz ayidei taruvos, and then three examples of chametz noksha. Elu ovrin bePesach. What are the four examples of chametz ayidei taruvos? Kuta chababli. Kuta chababli is a type of dip that was made in Bavel that included in it chametz. V'sheichar hamadi, and beer from Madi, which included either wheat or barley grains, v'chometz ha'adami, and a vinegar from Edom, which also included barley. So all these are examples that includes one of the five grains is one of the ingredients. V'zisom ha'mitzri, and zitom from Mitzri, from Egypt. The Bartinur says that this included grains and was used for refuah. Others, however, say that it was a kind of beer. In all these cases, we'll see that you have to get rid of it on Pesach. Now, the three examples of chametz noksha, chametz that is not a taruvus situation, but just something that is not edible in the first place, those three examples are listed now. Bezomen shel tzavoim. Zomen is some kind of a mixture that people who dye objects, whether it's materials, in the dyeing process, in the coloring process, they use it has some element of flour or grain in it. Va'amilon shel tavachim, and this refers to in the cooking process, some cooks use some kind of a mixture that's made of flour, and the flour comes from tua that had not reached a third of its ripeness, so it was not complete yet. And then this flour or powder that they used, they put on top of the pots when they were cooking in order to draw the moisture from the food that was being cooked. The kolon shel sofrim, this refers to the sofrim, the people who are scribes, and they have some kind of a paste that they would use to paste things together, and that also had some kind of flour. In all these cases, we'll see that you have to get rid of it on Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer adds one thing. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Af tachshitei nashim," even tachshitei nashim, which literally means jewelry, but the Gemara explains tachshitei nashim is some kind of a mixture that women use that included some element of flour that was used for hair removal. And Rabbi Eliezer was mosiv that even that, where they mixed it with other chemicals to use in a hair removal process, that would also be, you'd have to get rid of it on Pesach. The Bartinur tells us that we do not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And the Mishnah ends off with a general rule to help us put all these categories together, the Chametz Noksha and the Chametz Ayde Taruvus, Zehakla. This is the rule. Kol Shehumi Min Dogon. Anything that comes from and includes in it a type of one of the five grains, I raise over b'Pesach. You're over on Pesach. And as we mentioned before, over means that you have to get rid of it. Reilo Be'ezhara. You have, if you ate from this mixture, then you are over on a lav, and therefore you would get malchus. Nevertheless, ein behem mishum karis. There is no iser karis over here. With this we end Mishnah Aleph, and look forward to continuing with you next time.